Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snowell. we travel the world for past, present, and future stars. Coming into you from live from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Okay, yeah, you know, a little chilly this morning here.
Yeah, I know that little
chill. Woke up and was like, it's a deep.
Yeah, the little chill bite got me when I was bringing this in here, and it caused a little in my voice to get us started this morning, that chill, you know. You know, it's chilly everywhere. But, Bob, man, some real snow have gotten dumped down in Schuylkill County, hasn't it?
Yeah, man, we got a lot of foot places, got a little more low. That's what, yeah, it was really covering, man. You know, the first big snow in a couple of years, pretty much. So, yeah, people digging out and everybody out playing in the snow. Hey, a week before Christmas, too. This will be our last show. Next week will be the day after Christmas, and we'll have a special show next week. But nevertheless, let's wish everybody happy holidays and Merry Christmas to all our friends out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Merry Christmas. And next week, God willing, we'll be saying have a happy new year. But, yeah, the special show will cover the day after Christmas when Jack Johnson became the first African-American heavyweight champion by beating Burns. And also next week we'll bring you some of the year-ending events. It's been a difficult year, like the biggest numbers for the pay-per-view, who was the biggest pay-per-view star, and stuff like that, you know, year-ending stuff. And then we'll look at certain things that we can look at, a fighter to be called Fighter of the Year and stuff like that. So all that next week, but we got a great show set up for this week, Bob. And there was been some great fights by, you know, last week with Anthony Joshua coming out on top, and you'll be going over that. And Triple G, you'll be mentioning that, and Michael Hunter, and what Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua plan on doing. So there's a lot to cover in boxing. We're back. We're back. Last week, how many, what, 13 countries strong? And wow, our audience is still staying in touch with us, man. They're locking in, locking us. Sometimes the traffic be so heavy, Bob, it causes malfunctions on our platform when they'll be logging in from all over the world. That's not a problem, but that's a good thing. You know what I mean, Bob? People are listening. So come on, Bob, take us on that carpet ride. Come on down here in this country, that country, you know. And take us on that cruise, baby, that when we go around the world. Bring it to us, Bob.
Yeah, let's begin. You know, well, okay, let's say Triple G last night, big win, seventh round knockout. Also, Michael Hunter scored a fourth round KO over Sean Loughery. Looked good. And Roberto Ramirez increased his record to 41-0, won the NABF light heavyweight title last night. But Triple G looked pretty good, too, taking out Zeremeta. We'll talk about that. But the reason we're looking about Triple G, because tonight, San Antonio, Texas, and USA of the Zone pay-per-view, and 12,000 spectators they're expecting, half a crowd at the Alamo Dome, fill half of it up. Then we'll see what happens with that. But it is, it's all Canelo Alvarez, 53-1-2, 36 knockouts, defending his WBA Super World and a battle for the vacant WBC World Super Middleweight titles when he takes on the big Callum Smith, 27-0, 19 knockouts. And the undercard features Christian Allen Gomez Duran, 18-2-1, 16 knockouts, versus Aniel Hernandez, 17-15-2 in a welterweight clash. And Showtime has a big show on tonight, too, the Mohegan Sun Casino, Uncasville, Connecticut. They have Jerron Ennis. He's out of Philadelphia, undefeated, 26-0, 24 knockouts, taking on Chris Van Heerden, 28-2-1, 12 KOs. That's about for the open IBO World welterweight crown. Also, it's now Emmanuel Rodriguez, 19-1, 12 KOs, versus Raymark Gabato. He's 23-0, 20 KOs for the interim WBC World Bantamweight belt. And originally, we talked about this a couple of weeks, so it's been following fact, Nonito Donaire and Nordine Uba-Ali were supposed to fight for this fight. Uba-Ali came down with the COVID-19 first, then a couple weeks ago Donaire did. So, well, we have two totally different fighters fighting in this fight than we thought so a couple weeks ago. Also on that big Showtime card, bantamweight, Gary Antonio Russell, 17-0, 12 knockouts, versus Juan Carlos Pavano, 21-4, 9 KOs. And Brandon Lee tangles with Dakota Linger in a welterweight clash there, too. So a couple big TV events coming out of the U.S. today. Phoenix, Arizona, they'll showcase featherweight Danny Barrios Suarez. And in Greenville, South Carolina, Peter Dobson, 11-0, 7 KOs, and Augustine Morris, 7-7-3, fight for the open WBC-US-NBC welterweight strap. And also, it's Melissa Odessa Parker fighting Brittany Sims for the open NABF female super bantamweight belt. And then we go down now to the co-main events in Cabo San Lucas in Baja, Mexico. Well, we'll see Eric Murguia, 8-0, step in with Ivan Welna in a light heavyweight matchup. An unbeaten super lightweight Keith Hunter, 12-0. He crosses the ropes with the 12-10-2 Manuel David Lugo. Veracruz tops their card with the Isaac Castan versus Aniel Diaz Garcia lightweight contest, while in Valladolid in Yucatan, bantamweight battle, as the headliner has Humberto Morales swearing off against Miguel Aniel Herrera. Tyson Sports TV will be in Buenos Aires, Argentina, covering the WBO World Female Flyweight bout between the champion Deborah Anahi Lopez, 16-0-1, and challenger Aileen Maquela Alejandra Granadino, who's 5-0-2. In a co-feature, pits Yamile Belen Abolaneda, 10-4, against Estefania Karen Alaniz, 5-3-1, for the country's FAB female lightweight crown. Jumping over now to Kinshasa, Democratic Republic of the Congo. Big card there, Ulunga Jr. Makabu, 27-2, 24 knockouts, defends his WBC World Cruiserweight belt against Oluwariwahu Duradola, who's 34-7, 31 knockouts. And the big undercard will see Augustine Batata and Davis Rahama vie for the vacant ABU middleweight title. And Jack Wolomayi dukes it out with Morris Okola for the open African Boxing Union heavyweight strap. Also, Naomi Yumba and Anisha Bashil fight for the ABU female lightweight crown. And Marcela Sokolbe seeks the open ABU female featherweight title. Gauteng, South Africa, highlights the Akani Futhi, 11-0, versus Johnny Muller fight for the WBA Pan-African Cruiserweight Crown. And it's Rourke Knapp, 10-1-1, versus Simon Dladla, 6-0, for the open IBO World Youth Super Welterweight Strap. IBO World Cruiserweight champ Kevin Lorena, 25-1, faces off with Patrick Ferguson, 17-2-1, in a non-title bout. Jaburani Makeche, 10-0, trades punches with Marduce Kuvesa Kutombo, 13-3-1, for the WBA Pan-African Welterweight Championship. In the fifth 10-rounder, we'll see Ricardo Mahayika, 6-0, duking it out with Rafiwa Neshiwanga, 12-6-2, for both the open ABU vacant WBA Pan-African Super Flyweight titles. Up now to Brussels in Belgium, which hosts the Mohamed El Marouchi versus Damian Leonardo Yapur Super Lightweight Attraction. Welterweights Ray Dacom and Raphael Bouquet battle at the end of the night in Bouches-du-Rhône, France. In Calais, Julien Roeder and Johan Canavé fight for the country's flyweight crown, while in Irines, it's Rima Ayadi versus Marina Sakharov for the vacant France female super featherweight belt. Saint Denis tops their card with the Milan Prime versus Vincent Galazzo super welterweight showdown. In Munich, Germany, ends the night with Hector Hernandez and Chris Herrmann both seeking the open Germany BDB super middleweight belt. And in Berlin, Rico Mueller, 26-3-1, 17 of those wins by KO, clashes with Gabriel Angel Adesma, 12-3-1, in the welterweight topper. Felix Sturm, 40 wins, 5 losses, 3 draws versus Timo Ross, 10-0-2, super middleweight matchup, leads the way in Hamburg, which also has Jose Larduet and Marcos Antonio Almada in a heavyweight co-main event. Rosano, Lombardy, Italy, features the Nicholas Esposito versus Giovanni D'Antoni welterweight contest. And Connor will highlight the Jacopo Fazzino versus Charlemagne Petanic-Pon super welterweight matchup,
while over in Sarek in Sardinia, the super bantamweight battle between Matteo Lecca and Shuav Zaman closes the show. Catania, Sicily will end their card with the light heavyweights Alessio Spaminato and Claudio Caiam going at it. And Torre La Vega, Spain features ring veteran Sergio Martinez, 52-3-2, 29 KOs, fighting Jussi Quavuda, 24-7-1, 9 KOs in a middleweight showdown. Luis Barbario takes on Teodor Nikolov in a super welterweight closer in Basel, Switzerland. And the ABA Stadium in Auckland, New Zealand, serves as the host for the WBO Oriental Cruiserweight title bout between the 16-0 with 10 knockouts of David Light and Moise Amutagi Jr., 14-1-2, 9 KOs. Chaloan Porn Salatsuk, 21-6, 14 KOs, takes on Tiwa Kiram, 43-1, 31 knockouts for the WBA Asia Light Heavyweight Crown in the finale in Bangkok, Thailand. Osaka, Japan closes the curtain after the bantamweight contest between Hiroyuki Kodata and Tetsuro Ohashi. Super welters Harula Mai Mai Tiaiiri and Araban face off in the finale in Changsha, China, and in Guyang, when Fu Dao meets up with Tao Chan in the bantamweight main event. There we got 15 countries, people getting busy at the end of the year trying to get these last fights in before the holidays shut things down. And there we got 15 getting back up there. See what other title fights going on around the world, too. So big fight down there in the Congo tonight, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the big fight last night, as you reported, Triple G surpassed Bernard Hopkins' record. They were tied at 20 title defenses. Now he has 21 titles defenses. That is a benchmark that's second to none. So now Triple G holds the record for the middleweight title defenses, which is it's just amazing in itself. But
Who is that Triple G Canelo fight? Everybody's talking. Here we go, back to back. That was pretty cool that we get to see Triple G last night and Canelo tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. But we're going to see what the sales is, why Canelo Alvarez is the draw. But let me tell, both fighters weighed in at 168 pounds, Bob. With Smith, he's a tall fighter. 6'3". So we're going to see if Canelo Alvarez can bob and weave himself to get inside that that reach that he has, or will Smith be able to keep him at range and keep him at bay to go on to victory. If Smith is able to keep himself off the ropes where he's keeping Canelo Alvarez at bay, he would do very well in this fight. But if he lets Canelo Alvarez inside that reach and let Canelo Alvarez bang him to the body, and you look for, with a tall guy like that, you look over for shots over the top, like an overhand right, and following up back with a left hook. But if you can bang him to the body, get the big guy to bend over where you can hit him with an uppercut, bring him down to your reach where you can hit him with uppercuts and things like that, like the uppercut that Anthony Joshua used last week against Pulev. Anthony Joshua last week, talking about that fight, his skills look like he's been working on his technical skills, his technical boxing. Very good, where he's becoming look like fundamentally sound. He was throwing a jab, throwing a 1-2 real good where he knocked him down. Then he followed up with a shot in the inside with an uppercut that hit Pulev dead smack, dead on the button, and it was that for that fight. But Anthony Joshua, the end of year with a victory like that, what were the pay-per-view sales like, Bob, on that?
Yeah, they're all – when we get something like that coming out of England, you have all the different platforms. You have the Sky TV, and they had the Zone thing and everything. But we're looking at a number of like 1.6 million on the pay-per-view. That, again, subject to change, but not a bad number for – that's probably one of the highest ones we've seen, especially since the pandemic. And just compare that to, just compare last week. We also had the ESPN fight with Shakur Stevenson, who's an up-and-coming star, and his fight with Toka Conclari. That was on the regular cable ESPN that drew 1.55 million as an average. So just a little bit below the pay-per-view. But disappointing numbers, Chris Colbert and Jaime Arboleda on the Showtime show last week, only 195,000 on that average. So, Stevenson proved himself to draw some numbers. But Joshua 1.6, again, you know, it's English. We still got different numbers out there that haven't been all tabulated yet, but not bad so far for what we see.
No, it's not bad for what we've seen, but Mike Tyson and Roy Jones, my man, their numbers are steadily climbing. And all the numbers in the market, the U.S. market, and the foreign markets, will Roy Jones and Mike Tyson pay-per-view outdo Anthony Joshua? This is something to look at because it's saying what kind of star Roy Jones and Mike Tyson are. And Anthony Joshua, will Tyson and Jones beat them out? So it becomes a real competitive thing when it comes into that big fight that puts Mike Tyson always in the hunt because he's so popular. You know, will he outperform Anthony Joshua, who's a well-noted champion in the pay-per-view market?
About 1.6 each right now. That's where we're getting at, yeah.
Yeah, it's real interesting. So we're going to keep a close look at that, Bob. But Anthony Joshua did perform well, and congratulations to him, and congratulations to Triple G to come in and get a victory to break that record, which is a great record to break with Bernard Hopkins and the prior people that had those title defense records are legends. So Triple G is becoming into that legendary status as he continues to fight now. So, and also, you know, for Michael Hunter, congratulations to him, Michael Hunter. He started fast down there and first knocked him down and went on to a fourth round knockout. Michael Hunter is biting at the bit himself. So, and you got Usyk laying in the background, Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury fight looming.
Usyk could take the walk away money, step aside money. Usyk talking about that, taking that. He didn't want to, but that could open up a few other things. You know, we talked about Hunter and Dillon White too. Povetkin still with his COVID-19 battle and stuff. So there's a few things that are brewing there with everything starting to settle down there.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Now, don't forget, the WBC has made that new class, that weight class.
Right. Bridgerweight.
Yeah, the Bridgerweight. You know, it's it fits right in the fold where Usyk and Michael Hunter and those type of guys could fight for that. Why Anthony or even Wilder, basically, to get in the hunt for that WBC belt, which is basically the heavyweight division that they changed the name of the weight class in between cruiserweight and now bruiserweight and then heavyweight. So it opens other doors and other opportunities. But anyway, Hearn said that he's moving on, that they want to make the fight, and I think they should make the fight. This is the fight. These are the kind of fight the boxing fans and boxing aficionados, the boxing community, we hunger for a great heavyweight championship fight like this. You know, both of the guys can whack. You got a boxer puncher. You know, it's a classic matchup. And in Britain, boxing history, or boxing basically started in this era, you know what I mean? It makes for a great event. They should do it. They should make it. They should work day and night to make that happen. To appease the boxing fans, give the people what they want. You know what I mean? And then the winner, then they can take on a Tyson. You know, they said that WBC said that they would give Tyson a championship champion privilege fight, that when you reach a certain level in certain boxing organization, it's called a champion privilege, because you showed and demonstrate that you can fight on this level. And I think that would be good, too, to bring that kind of match up after them two win. Let them take on Tyson, man. See if Tyson can really pull that trigger against one of these young prime guys, because he's biting, he's hungry, you know. And the numbers in the sale is, man, I think it would go off the roof. It would go off the chart. You know, then they would be the man that fought the man that beat the man that fought the man. Bob, all of that starts to come back in.
Right.
into the fold.
Yeah, if you saw Mike Tyson and Tyson Fury go at it, would that be the first time that anybody ever fought somebody who was named after him?
Yeah, it makes for a great sale. And, you know, like Larry Holmes came up underneath the tutelage of Muhammad Ali, and they fought. And, you know, Larry Holmes said he didn't want to do it, but he had to do it. He had to spank Muhammad Ali at his age. And that's what he did. He showed him that you're the greatest, but I'm the latest. And that's what happened in that fight. So hopefully that they can get this Tyson Fury fight and Anthony Joshua. Make it a done deal, baby. Make it a done deal. So all of us can go over Brit to the Brits, baby, and, you know, sit around and talk boxing over there. Cheerio, cheerio, chum. Cheerio, boxing, baby. Boxing over there in England, baby. Governor, 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 governor. So all around, it just makes for something great. That happened over there in English to match up with those events that happened. You know, as we spoke before, Tim Witherspoon and Frank Bruno fight, that was a record selling crowd back then in the 80s with, you know, over 40 some thousand people in Wembley Stadium. They had the record for a while until, you know, Anthony Joshua and Fury has come around to their age. So it makes for something good and great, and that's what we want to see, great fights, great competition. And hopefully
people in the stands last week, they did get 1,000 people in there, so there was a live audience. They were set. Yeah, that was good to see, too, you know, that England, you know, despite their pandemic problems, too, they, you know, so far we haven't heard anything negative about that, but 1,000 people. How about 12,000 people expected tonight in the Alamo Dome? Boy, that's going to be something to see them put that in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be a great matchup. You know, we got somebody with a great height of reach, and let's see if he can utilize his skills, Bob, against a seasoned veteran. You know, Canelo Alvarez, he has a lot of fights, so he probably had a different look at a lot of different people. But let's see if Smith can upset the apple cart tonight. And if he does, boy, would that send some shockwaves around the world. If he could keep that distance and box and weave and keep his back off the rope. You know, without further ado, Bob, we do have our guests lined up. And this guy, when you talk about cuts and things like that, Bob, you know, you need them, you want them, but you don't want them to do their job. And if they do their job, they do it well. And this guy, not only does he do it well, he talks it well. He's an all-around seasoned guy who's gone into the Hall of Fame, Atlantic City Boxing Hall of Fame. Welcome into the World Boxing Review Radio Show, Joey I. How you doing, Joey?
No, I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on. It's an honor. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, Joey, you know, talk a little, man. You done did the movies. You done, you've been a cut man for the ages. And, you know, movies. What's this going into the Atlantic City Boxing Hall of Fame? We went together in New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame together, I do believe.
That's right.
And
yes, we did.
And now we're going into Atlantic City Boxing Hall of Fame together. So what does it mean to you?
It means so much that I'm going in again with you. That means a lot to me,
Joey,
because you're one of the best. You're one of the best there. There's so many times, there's other Hall of Fames that I've been in also, this is the fourth one I'm going in, but it's always an honor. Mm-hmm. But when you go in with high quality people, it just makes me feel so much more accepted and deserving. It's incredible. I mean, and going into Atlantic City Hall of Fame, we've been around, boxing since I was a 10-year-old kid. And, coming up in Philly and being at the fights in Jersey and Atlantic City, these two places are the fight capitals of the world, no matter what anybody tells you, And so to be recognized to be recognized for what I do, because this is not, boxing is about the two guys fighting. It's not about the rest of us, whatever, the trainers, the managers, the promoters, the cut man, not even the damn ring card girls. It ain't about them. Again, we're not there for the glory or anything. So to be recognized, to people point out and vote you in, to see that you work really hard and dedicate your life to it. And I have to honestly say, I pretty much can say I've dedicated my life to it. Family first and then boxing second. Everything else is just, whatever. It's just, it's like second nature to me and be recognized by Atlantic City. I mean, they do such a great job. That 3-day event they do, I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, yes it is, Joey. You're talking about going in, people watch the boxing aficionados who are at fights all the time, the little ones and the big giant fights, Sometimes people don't understand when you're working a fight, club show style, hardly maybe 500, 400 people there, but you're working your tail off trying to move a guy in his career or guys that just love boxing that are fighting, and they get cut and things like that. A lot of times they can't even pay it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, no, tell me about
guys,
it.
But you do your job, pat them on the back. Thanks, man.
That's right. Yeah, I always say if I had half the money that I was owed, I could have retired a long time ago, But what are you going to do? But we're not there. It's not that you're there for the money, But that's the truth. But that's also true with, like you're saying, club level. It doesn't matter to me. I have worked every kind of fight that there is, and it doesn't matter to me whether it's an HBO show or it's a back alley brawl. These guys bleed, and I always say the blood's red, the money's green. I do my job. I don't care your record, whatever, and a lot of times it's those club level guys that aren't going anywhere, that might have a 500 record or worse. They're the guys that need me more than the contender or the prospect that's friggin', that's coming up that they're looking out for, and I like I said, I don't, it doesn't bother me. I work Muay Thai fights, bare knuckle fights, cage fights. I just worked two cage fights this week. I just came home from being in Lancaster, Pennsylvania for 2 days. They had a 2-day event. And, in cage fights, there's only two cut men. There's one guy on one side, one guy on the other. You work the whole show. But I happen to be, the only guy for both days. So I was out there and I literally had
to work
both.
Everybody.
Yes. Yeah. I worked everybody. Yeah. I wrapped 3/4 of the guy's hands for both nights. And I worked both sides. And sometimes, yes, they both got cut at the same time and didn't matter. And I don't get any extra time. I run over to whoever's worse, fix them up, run back over, fix the other guy and get the hell out. And I've been doing it so long that to me, I actually prefer it that way because the MMA type stuff, I give them all the respect in the world, but that's not my thing. My thing is boxing. But, they get cut. They need their hands wrapped. They're going to bleed red just like everybody else. And it's a contact sport. You got to give them a lot of respect. They get in there, and I'm there to make sure that they can keep getting through there. And I just love the blood. I hate that. I must be like a vampire or something. But it's great, like you say, that these people, they look, they're watching you. And I always thought anybody thought the way I did. Coming up as a kid, my father would take me to the fights and stuff when I was real little. and I'll be at the Blue Horizon or the Arena, places like that, you know, and the Golden Eagle, and I'll be watching, but I'd be watching the guys in the corner more than the guys fighting.
Right.
And I was learning as a kid, but then wound up learning from the guys I had been watching. I learned from Eddie Aliano. I learned from Stan the Cut Man. I learned from Adolf Ratako. I learned from all those guys, and they all gave me little bits and always had told me, you're going to do great because
yeah, when,
you love
when you
it.
Mentioned, when you mentioned that name, Eddie Aliano, bar
oh,
none.
Yeah, the clot.
Bar
yep.
none.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Eddie
yeah.
the Clot was second to none when it comes.
To none. Yeah.
He never got in your
yep.
way.
No.
But when it
no,
came
he never
time
said nothing.
For
he
him
was a quiet
to do
guy.
His job.
Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That see that's what I
he
learned a lot
able
with
to
him.
Do it.
Yep.
Now
staying
you know,
calm
with Tim Witherspoon
and just doing
Eddie
your job.
Aliano work with me. Yeah, Eddie Aliano
mm-hmm.
work with me
yeah.
with
yep.
Tim Witherspoon. With
yep.
A lot of guys, Frankie Randall when he beat Julio
yep.
Cesar Chavez that
yeah.
night. We've been over the seas together, me and Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you a famous one with Ricky Parkee when he knocked out Murphy to win the Cruiserweight Championship over
Cruiserweight
in Italy.
Title, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Eddie says, my God, in the corner, Eddie goes to me. He says, my God, he's pulling it off, right? He says, my God, he's ready. He's ready to go. In me and Eddie Aliano's lap. He dropped him in out of the
right
ring
in the
corner, file. And he fell right. He fell right in me and Eddie's lap. You know, but what a
yeah.
guy.
Ain't that, and that's
Murray
something.
Look, Bob, any questions
yeah.
for Joey I?
Hey, Joey, yeah, nice to talk to you. Hey,
yeah, Bob.
Did you guys ever work together? You and Aaron. On the same card or anything like that. I mean, if you talk about knowing each other.
I was
other,
just
but,
about to
you,
mention,
you
guys, I know we've been on same cards, but I'll tell you this. He was mentioning about how he trained Tim Witherspoon. I, later in Tim's career, worked Tim's corner. Then
yeah.
I worked with his nephew, Chaz. Then I worked with his son, with Tim's son. So I worked with the whole damn family practically.
You're
you know, and I worked corners
family.
With his brother. yeah. And that's the scary thing. I know I'm getting old when I work like the fighter. Then years later, I'm working his son. I'm going, oh, God, or a nephew. Or like,
yeah,
you know, I used to work with Bruce Seldon. And then now I was working with his son. I'm going, oh, my God. I'm like, this is, I'm getting old, you know. But
yeah,
but yeah no,
old,
we've definitely.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
Joey.
I was going to say, yeah, but we've definitely been on the same cards and things. I mean, it's such a small world that, you know, it's
right.
amazing. You know,
exactly.
you just mentioned
yeah.
people's names and they automatically, we all know each other. And we've come into contact
Absolutely.
With each other in so many different ways. And yeah, and it's just, there's nothing like boxing. I'm telling you, there's not the world of this, of boxing, it's just such a, like a fraternity. You know,
it is.
Right.
Now, Joey, we cannot interview without mention you're a Hollywood actor. You've been name some of the movies and stuff that you've been in for our audience. They may not
sure.
catch you now.
Yeah, they're not
going to
know me, but
world.
You know,
they
yeah,
they have seen you on the screen, but they don't see you in the movies or something. Come on, bro.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
yeah.
Come on with
well,
the
yeah,
movies.
You know. I've been in at least 100 movies. Some of them
wow.
I don't even remember because they never made it to the screen. Or I have my kids,
right.
they have like the Fire Stick thing, and they're going, yeah, I put your name in, Dad. And I'm like, you were in this movie, that movie? I go, I don't even remember that movie. I'm like, well, oh, my name was Vito in that movie? I didn't even know that. I'm like, you know, you get some, but again, that's like club level stuff. You know, you just do it because you love it. And, but you know, but I've been in, you know, four of the Rocky movies. I played myself in Creed, and I was the technical advisor for the movie, and I handpicked every guy that's in that movie other than Creed himself were real fighters, real trainers, real managers, real referees. I handpicked them for the casting company because I work a lot with that casting company that did because they were in Philadelphia. And but, you know, I my first movie I ever was ever in was Rocky II, which actually – got me into boxing. So the two things like go hand in hand. And it even goes even further than that. Like my love of boxing started when I was 5 years old. My father let me stay up to watch Ali Wepner because he figured, yeah, I'll let him stay up. This ain't gone more than 2-3 rounds. Yeah, you know, 15 rounds later, and he got all busted up, and I just, like, I don't know. He was just so tough to me, and then getting over the years getting to know Chuck Wepner, and there he was, the real Rocky. And then a few years later, I ran track in my school, and they came and picked all the athletes at our school to be in Rocky II to run with Stallone. And, you know, and I had other people bug me to go to the gym to box because I was always getting bullied being so small and getting beat up all the time. And I didn't want to, but the minute I got to run with Stallone and I'm running down the parkway and I'm running up the art museum steps all damn day, you know, and I got there at one point before anybody else, and he picked me up, put me on his shoulders, and I just thought that was the greatest thing. And he's going, hey, how you doing? You know, and I'm like, oh, my God. And he probably put me down because I probably pissed on him. You know what I mean? I probably pissed on his shoulder. I was so excited, you know. But I ran home and made my father take me to the gym. And I told Stallone this when we were making Creed. I said, you know, the last time we were this close, I was sitting on your shoulders. He was like, oh, my God, 1979. You were that little kid. I go, yeah, and if you hadn't done that, we wouldn't be here. He's like, why? I go, well, you know, you've probably heard this more than once, but you inspired me. I said, you know, no offense, I was 9 years old. I thought you were real. I said, you know, I said, I'm Italian. I'm left-handed. I'm undersized. Yeah, I want to be like him. And I said, all these years later, you guys calling me to play myself in one of your movies. I said, you know, I made my father take me to the gym and never looked back. And, you know, as an amateur fighter, a pro fighter, a manager, a trainer, a promoter, a gym owner, you name it, a cut man, I do it. And I just you get that, you get bit. It's like drugs. You know, boxing's like a drug. You know, there's times when, you know, you're like on a Saturday, you're like, you get home and you're like, I had enough of this. But my Monday, you're back to checking on the, all right, what are we going to do? You know, what I got to do next week? What do I got this week? You know, it is. It's just such an addiction, and it ain't going anywhere. And it's something that no matter what other sport comes in or out, we're always going to have boxing because people want to get their aggressions out, but the average person, they ain't going out there and going to do it on their own. They like to watch, you know, the fighters do it. You know what I mean? And it's just a great, you know, I mean, people used to just listen to it even on the radio, you know, before there was television. I mean, you know, now,
that's right.
I mean, you know, there's such an addictive sport, you know, nothing like two guys standing there in their underwear going at it, you know?
you got that right. Well, you know, Ray McCart in Henry Hascop, you're talking about two great guys.
Great.
Talk a little bit about Ray McCline and Henry Hascop, man. These two guys
I got to know over the years with, you know, from Jersey, you know, working in the fights in Atlantic City and places like that, bumping into him in New York and, you know, you know, like when he had was with Virgil and guys like that, and I knew Virgil Hill real good. Ray really stepped it up. It was great what he did with this, because if you remember, there was the mayor's office in Atlantic City was doing it for a while. They were doing the Atlantic City All-Stars of Boxing Hall of Fame. And,
right.
But they were
That's
putting
right.
like a million people in every year. When I went in 2012, I didn't even know I was going in. I got an invitation for me and my wife to come, and I'm going, you know, and this thing's going on forever. Like, they put like 50 guys, like, you know, and I'm going, I got to get out of here. I'm like, they're like, no, you can't leave. And I'm like, what do you mean I can't leave? And, you know, no, hold on. And they announced Don King. And then all of a sudden they start talking about somebody, and I'm going, that guy kind of sounds like he has the same, you know, career as me. And I go, that's boxing, whatever. And then I said, oh, my God, it was me. And I'm like, I'm up there, and I'm going in with, like, Sugar Ray Leonard, Mike Tyson, Don King, all these guys, you know, Vito Anafirmo. I said, oh, my God, you know. But then the next mayor's office didn't keep it going, and it fell to the wayside. So, you know, Ray said, you know what, I'm going to start that. There needs to be an Atlantic City Boxing Hall of Fame. So he did it, stepped it up, and he did it, like, honestly, 10 times better. I mean, he does a 3-day event. The only other people doing that is the International Hall of Fame. And it just
absolutely.
Is. And you can't beat it. It's just, I mean, and the personalities, because they're nothing like boxing. It's full of characters, full of personalities. You know, I admit, you know, I guess I'm one of them, you know. But that's the best part with boxing. I can be me. I can be me. I don't have to, you know, I'm telling you, I can walk down my own neighborhood and people go, what the hell is that? What the, they're looking at me like, who's this nut? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? That's why I love boxing. That's why I love movies, too, because I get to really be me in these, you know, I get to let my aggressions out in these movies. You know, I'm usually smashing somebody's head or shooting them, you know? But, it's so great that he puts this together. Because, and Ray really, I mean, rolls out the red carpet. I mean, it's a class event, the whole thing, and that's what makes it an honor. You know, like if they were going to put me in Arkansas Hall of Fame, I'd be like, wow, really? Like, who am I going in there with? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, come on, this is Atlantic City.
Our next guest hanging in the queue, and she can hold on while we finish up with you, Joe, and you can hold on while we carry her through, and then we'll merge all of it together, too.
And
but,
then, you got Henry. I mean, Henry's. I mean, he is like I don't know what you call it. Like, he's an encyclopedia of boxing. Like, you could just say who was the first fight of like Dempsey Tunney in like 19, and he'd be good. He'll go, oh yeah, this guy, that guy, and that guy, and then that guy went on to be a welder, and he had 8 kids, and he died in 1968. Like, what? You it's like, oh, really? Do you know his blood type? Yeah, it was A positive. You know, Henry is like, you know, my God, he just is like. And he keeps you up to date on everything. I mean, you know, I always get the emails of, you know, who might be going into a Hall of Fame or might be, you know, won a title or passed on, you know, we need that. We need to keep, you know, people, we need to know on the inside of all this. And his, and when he does the, with the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame, my God, can you beat that dinner going to that?
No,
I mean,
man, that dinner, the food never stops.
Oh, my God, that place is incredible. No, they're serving lamb chops as appetizers. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, they bring out a prime rib that would choke Fred Flintstone. Like, it's incredible. I'm like, how do you beat this? I'm like, you know, I said, they got flower arrangements in there that are bigger than my house. I said, holy, I mean, it's beautiful. And they really do a great job. I mean, they really, really do. But, you know, you got to give it to any Hall of Fame. Because, like I said, for anybody to go out of their way to recognize the people that work hard, you know, the fighters, the trainers, the managers, everybody, all the way down to just some little bum like me, you know what I mean? It's great. You know, it's such an honor, you know?
Yeah. Well, Joey, if you can hang on and let just hang on. Let's bring our next guest in. When you're talking about groundbreaking things, trailblazers, and setting the trend for what's coming for the of the ages, Lady Tagger is second to none at this. And she is being inducted in 2021 in the International Boxing Hall of Fame. Welcome into the World Boxing Review Radio Show. Lady Tagger, how you doing?
Oh, how you doing, Aaron? It's nice talking to you and listening to your show. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, you are definitely, when it comes to boxing, you are a trailblazer, and I'm glad that they finally inducted you into the International Boxing Hall of Fame, and you've been on movies and made about you. You've been on NBC Sports World back when y'all were doing this thing. Y'all broke a lot of ground, you and Jackie Tijuana, but for getting sued the New York Athletic Commission, won the case. When they went licensed boxers, you won, and that was a trail thing in itself. And for now to be going into the International Boxing Hall of Fame, it's full circle. Talk a little bit about all of that, Jackie, if you can. Bring us back in
you
time and bring
Jackie.
Us up to date. I'm not
Jackie
Lady Tagger. I didn't mean to call you. Come on now. You know I know who you are. Come on now. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. I'm very, very happy to be an inductee to the International Boxing Hall of Fame. I wasn't expecting it. It was a total surprise and a pleasant surprise. As you said, that the pioneer, usually the pioneers are not the ones to reap the benefits. I'll give you an example. The ladies that came after me, they really made some money. They, Leela Ali and different other people, Christy mm-hmm. Martin, made more money than I made in the whole time that I was boxing. They made that in one fight. It's a different. The pioneers don't usually reap the benefits. It's the people that come after. They benefit from all the work that was done prior.
Yeah, and surprising you. A long time ago we talked. You had made me aware of something that I wasn't aware of. That Don King helped you, or something like that. You were telling.
Okay, what happened was, I went on a hunger strike, and I was picketing in Las Vegas. It was a couple of us. We were picketing and protesting because they didn't allow women to box in Vegas. And it was still a lot of prejudice against women boxers. So we went out there not to picket against Sugar Ray Leonard, I believe, was fighting at that time. But we weren't there to picket them. We went there to say that we wanted equal opportunity. So anyway, I was on a hunger strike and with a couple other girls, Joanne Metello and Del Pettis, I believe it was, but there was a few of us that was out there picketing, and so men and women, out there helping me with to get the message out, and so in order to get me off the hunger strike, I spoke to Don King. And he said that he would use women boxers. And I was hoping that it would be me that he used, but it was Christy Martin. But still, I was okay with that because I wanted women to get the exposure. That was the main thing. And so that is what released me of the hunger strike.
Wow, that's really something. Bob Murray, any questions for Lady Tagger?
Yes, hello, welcome back on the show. I just wonder, how long did the hunger strike last? I mean, it's just amazing, the dedication to take something like that.
It was about 1 month.
Wow, that's still a lot.
But all the girls didn't stay on the hunger strike, but I did, I stayed on there. And but the thing is, it was important that my family was very worried about me, and family and friends, of course. But I remember my mother, nobody will know, can you just eat this, can you just eat that? And I had to end up leaving my home. I couldn't stay there with my mother because it was bothering her too much, and she was trying to get me to eat, so I had to stay somewhere else. So it was a task, the whole thing with from the beginning until the time I finished. It was a task to try to get equal rights and equal billing and equal this and equal that, So it was difficult.
Yeah, you were fighting inside the ring and outside of the ring. Talk about that piece that NBC did on all of y'all. Talk a little bit about that, if you remember that piece that NBC Sports World did on that, on y'all.
I'm sorry, I don't recollect, because I remember different TV shows doing different things, but I'm not sure, Aaron.
Yeah, well, you know, they did a piece on all of y'all when you were awarded, I believe it was Floyd Patterson in New York after after y'all won the case. Didn't y'all receive some type of award,
Aaron,
from New York? All right.
Let me tell you something. Floyd Patterson was one of the worst, you know, persons in the state athletic commission. He was the, to my knowledge, the only one that opposed women's boxing and gave us a hard time and didn't want us to be licensed. You know, it was Randy Gordon that took it through, you know, and helped us out. It was Randy that was not prejudiced against, you know, women boxers. You know, I was really surprised that Floyd Patterson.
At Floyd Patterson, know, the way that he was really against women boxing. Gyms. What were the struggles like in the gyms? Are you going in the training?
Let me tell you something, Aaron. Not too long ago, I went to Gleason's gym after not being in the gym for about maybe 30 years, Aaron, that long. And when I went into Gleason's gym, they had, this is what really shocked me, believe it or not. It might seem simple or trivial to you and to other people, but it was a big thing to me. When I went to Gleason's gym, I saw a women's bathroom and a men's bathroom. And that, I'm telling you, Aaron, that was a big thing.
Yeah.
Yes, and in the women's bathroom.
Things that we take for granted participating in the sport nowadays.
Exactly.
It wasn't that way in your era.
Exactly.
Okay.
And they had, what do you call it, the things to blow your hair up, hair dry, you know, things
hair,
for your
hair,
all
dryers
the
and
things
stuff,
for,
hair blow.
Huh?
All the things that a woman needs to take care
Thank
of herself
you.
After she's showered and
right.
can blow her hair and all of that.
Right.
Yeah.
I was totally shocked, because when I went to the gyms, it was only men's bathroom. Only that was it. Only a men's bathroom. And I had to wait until the men got out to go in, and then, you know, and one of the places, one of the gyms, I'm not sure if it was it was in the Bronx. They actually put a hole in the wall so they could see me when I went to the bathroom.
Mm. Oh, my Lord.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Those are the experiences that I had, you know. But now they have men and women's bathrooms, and that's that's all I'm saying. It might seem all simple, you know. That's not. It was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We know that's right. And I want to say thank you for your commitment to the sport to persevere, to overcome. And this is a true mark that people recognize what your struggles and to get you into the International Hall of Fame, you know, is a blessing that they're putting you here. And because you truly, truly, truly deserve it. Let's bring Joey I in here, and can you stay on, Lady Tagger. Joey, do you hear these stories about, you know, about things that get on, you know, women fighters, you work women fights now, and you know, the MMA and all of that. Talk a little bit about that, and then we'll let Lady Tagger come in about working fights.
You know, way back, you're right. I mean, being in the gyms, and when I was coming up in the gym, there weren't any girls in the gym. But then again, there weren't any guys that were just there for the workout either. Nowadays, you got, you know, women, men, kids, everybody, and you got people there. Most of them are there for the workout more than there to fight.
Right,
but,
that's true.
But coming up when I was a kid and coming up, you know, it was odd, you know, if a woman did come in to train a little bit. And a lot of them were like, at sometime back then, it was like, you know, for the workout, because they were like bodybuilders and things like that. But, you know, and being a red blooded Italian man there, it was a little distracting, I'd have to say, at first, you know, and you're trying to, I'm over there hitting the bag and I'm over there looking at a pretty girl, you know, and I'm going, oh, geez, you know, but, you know, as it went along, you know, and then I got into being a cut man and a trainer, you know, one of the first people that I wound up having to train was a 15-year-old girl. And they were like, they kind of like threw her on me. They were like, and I'm like, well, she wants to fight. She fight, you know, I don't even, and I don't mean no disrespect to anybody, but I don't look at gender when it's a fight. To me, everybody's just a dude. You know, everybody wants to fight. You know, I don't care what you do. It's the same thing as I don't care what day you go to church. You know what I mean? If you're in there, it doesn't matter what color you are. We're fighters. That's it. So men, women, whatever. The only thing I had a little weird was, when we had to get the girl to sparring and she had to wear the chest protector on, I'm going, here, you're going to have to put this on. I'm not getting involved with that. I'm going to get in trouble there. I've had several girls I work with. I used to work with Jackie Frazier, great woman, you know, great, you know. I actually was partners with a girl who was a fighter with a gym we had together. Her name was Liz Sherman, and she was just a tough girl, and she'd just fight anybody. And that's the thing, you pioneered this stuff, which is great, because for all these girls to come ahead and be able to, like, it's no big deal. Just get in there. You're a fighter. It's not a guy, a girl thing. You know, you're in the gyms. Everybody's treated the same. You know, I've been in there where you have a guy sparring with a girl, and the guy will be like, get in there and go, I'm not going to hit her. I'm like, this is the only place it's legal. Get in there.
Yeah.
Two of you are going to spar, and she's probably going to hurt you. So, it would, you know. And I remember when that Million Dollar Baby movie came out, and I had this really tiny gym. I had to have people outside half the time jumping rope and things because there was all these girls showed up because they saw the Million Dollar Baby and they wanted to be fighters. And I'm going, okay. And then I'll tell you right now, last night, like I said, the past two nights I was in Lancaster working cage fights, MMA fights. And there were 14 fights total between the two nights. The best fight all was last night, the co-main event, were two girls, two like 120 pound girls going at it. They went at, and they always, I hate to be, probably people want to kill me, but you know, whenever there's a girl fight on a card, they're the ones that give it their all. They're the ones that are fan favorites that put it out there. You know, I think women still to this day feel like they got to prove that they belong there, whether they do or they don't, you know what I mean? And they really do, it's the fight game. I mean, if you're a fighter, like I said, I don't see gender that way. You know, I'm not saying a guy and a girl should fight each other in the ring, but.
Okay, let's turn it back to Lady Tagger. Look, did you spar? We got 90 seconds. Did you spar men when you were coming up, or they wouldn't let you?
Oh, yeah, I sparred with men. That's the only way that I could get any training. But the thing is, Aaron and Joey, the thing is, when I first started boxing, the some of the men would go all out and try to really hurt me to discourage me from coming back.
Yeah.
And when I came back, they realized that I was serious, you know. And then later, the trainers would even say, okay, lighten up, fellas, lighten up, when they would, you know, because they were experienced fighters, you know.
Yeah.
And I was totally green, you know. So I had some experiences even training and sparring with some of the men. And then on the other hand, some of the men I was pretty good, you know. I did, you know, pretty good with them, you know. So,
yeah,
was,
well, look,
yeah.
In closing, we got 10 seconds. What a show, Bob. You know, we want to thank
by Hall of Famers, baby.
Hey, ain't nothing
yeah.
Hall of Famers. Talking the talk, man. We sat back and watched. Joey, we want to thank you for coming in and staying on the show with us to give the experiences
of your
time
me.
In the gym. You know, we appreciate you. Atlantic City Boxing Hall of Fame, Joey Ive, be there. They're going to be announcing the dates and time for that because of COVID.
Yes.
They haven't announced it yet. But thank you and congratulations for being inducted into the Atlantic City Boxing Hall of Fame. And Lady Tagger, for you, let me tell you what. This is a indeed pleasure of mine. You pioneer, some of them I work with, some of them I trained at Muhammad Ali's training camp when I was up and coming women boxers. And we had mentioned the person, they called her the female Ali back then. And to have you on the show and to listen to all your tales of struggle in this great game called boxing, it's an indeed pleasure not only to congratulate you on going into the International Boxing Hall of Fame, but it tells us in the game of boxing that we have arrived when they induct you. Because
thank you.
Now the playing field is leveled. And I want to congratulate you for leveling the playing field. But we must
never give up
and we must never give in. You're very welcome, Lady Tagger. And congratulations. And Bob, as always, you took us around the world and took us on that magic carpet ride. You dipped down, you dipped up, and you dipped across the whole world to bring us boxing and boxing at its true best for events coming off. And we want to thank you, Bob Murray. And my name is Aaron Snowell. And thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review radio show. Bob Murray and Henry Hascop, we're praying for you. God bless you. All that you do, Henry, we're praying for you. And keep that great fight up. You're winning.
You bet.
Oh,
okay.
Thank
I will you. Merry Christmas.
Thanks,
guys. Congratulations. And keep on punching.
Thank you.
You bet.